on Good and Erev Shabbos. Some of you might be a little kvetchy about the fast tomorrow. And you're wondering to yourself, is an Erev Shabbos fast? You're going to Shabbos hungry. Granted, the davening, the minig is tomorrow night. We don't schlep by davening. Don't have any learning. We'll try to get home as soon as we can. And you're supposed to start the Suda right away. People are hungry. But people look at it as such an interesting fast. Going into Shabbos when we're starving. If we have a little bit more meaning into this fast and to understand it's relevant today, it will make the fast easier tomorrow. So before you kvetch about Friday, just know there's the most unique thing, which I've mentioned before. The halacha tells us if Asara B'Tavis would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos, which is not true for even Tisha B'Av. It's only true for Yom Kippur. And the way the calendar's set up is it can't come out on Shabbos. But you see something fascinating. Were Asara B'Tavis to come out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. So before you kvetch about a Friday fast, just know you're getting a good deal. That's the first good deal you're getting. The second good deal you're getting is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says that really there's supposed to be a fast for 3 days in a row. Ches Teves, the 8th of Teves, the 9th of Teves, and the 10th of Teves. So before you kvetch tomorrow, Chazal had Rachmanis on us, and they took the 3 days they were supposed to fast, and they put it into 1 day. We fast tomorrow because of Ches Teves, Tes Teves, and Yod Teves. So here we go. We saved ourselves no Shabbos. We saved ourselves 3 days. Now, the Friday fast should have become easier already psychologically. So what is it that we fast on Shabbos if it were to come out on Shabbos? What's with the 3 days? So very quickly, if you look in Shulchan Aruch says what happened on each one of these 10 days. So Asara B'Tavis, everybody knows. They laid siege on Yerushalayim. It was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of Churban Beis HaMikdash, where they just laid siege on Yerushalayim. And we all know once you lock out a city and you don't let anything in and out, it's the beginning of the end. That we know. What happened on Ches Teves, on the 8th of Teves? Chazal tell us, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that they translated the Torah into Greek. And Chazal tell us a darkness ascended down to the world, descended down into the world. We have to know exactly why and when. But the strangest of all is that happened on the 9th of Teves. Why? You have to see, it's very rare in Shulchan Aruch. It says the 9th of Teves, we don't know what happened. But we fast, but we should fast. What does it mean we don't know what happened? You ever saw such a thing? We're going to fast on the 9th of Teves, but we don't know why. And this question is so blatant. Because if you'll say the Slichas tomorrow, it tells us clearly what happened. How could the Shulchan Aruch say we don't know why? If in the Slichas we say tomorrow morning, it says Ezra HaSofer was Nifter. So what does it mean we don't know why? So if we have time, we'll go into other reasons why it says we don't know why. Because there were other things that happened that were very hard to publicly express. Some shatim has to do with Christianity at this time of year. Another pshat is about that Shimon HaKipuli died today. I don't know if you know who that was. He was an incredible person who pretended to convert to Christianity when Christianity started, so he could become he was the Bishop of Rome, and he was able to convince them to make it on Sunday instead of Shabbos and make no bris and all to sell. So openly he lived like a Christian, but he was really a Shem Terah Mitzvah, and he passed away in Tes Teves. So that's why it says, I don't know why, but I want to share with you why even the reason for Ezra HaSofer, what we're saying is we don't know. And I want to explain you how these 3 days are all relevant to today. And what we have to cry about and feel pain about is the lack of these things. And maybe we'll understand, if we have time, what happens even on Shabbos. And allow me to explain. Who was Ezra HaSofer? You need to understand. Ezra HaSofer was the man who, when Klal Yisrael was in their low, lowest of the low, he came back and uplifted us. Klal Yisrael was doing Avodah Zarah. For those of you that remember your Navi, there was king after king eradicated, tried with Avodah Zarah. Chazal tell us that Ezra HaSofer successfully eradicated Avodah Zarah, the desire of Avodah Zarah. How do we understand that? How did he get rid of it? And some Sofer tells us something fascinating. He says, what did Ezra HaSofer do? He said, Ezra HaSofer was the founder of the Jewish community. And I want to explain to you what that means. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but even not, even the Beis HaMikdash was around. Do you know there was a rule that you couldn't come to the Beis HaMikdash whenever you wanted? Shlomo HaMelech said, come 3 times a year. If you come too often, you're going to lose your sensitivity. And the Jews had a burning desire to get close and to serve Hashem. And you know what the Jews did? Not Avodah Zarah. They built bamos. They built these, not mizbeachs, but these little altars around, and they sacrificed not to Avodah Zarah, but to Hashem. It was a tremendous sin. It's called Shechutei Chutz. But the Jews were burning in their hearts. What do you mean we can't go to the Beis HaMikdash? And if you look at the Navi, while every king, the tzaddikim, it says eradicated Avodah Zarah, Rak HaBomois Loisaru, they could not get rid. This was one desire of the Jewish people that could not get out of our system. We could not serve Hashem. So although we weren't serving Avodah Zarah, we were still doing something that wasn't allowed. Tzachiv Karas. We were bringing karbonos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ezra HaSofer realized, you know what the problem is? Yidden need to connect in their service. Yidden don't work by themselves. And he founded something called the Jewish community. He invented from going to Bate Knesiyos, shuls. There was no such a thing out of the Beis HaMikdash as serving Hashem with a group. It was individuals. It's fascinating. No one knows this. He invented Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday, so people have to go to shuls. And by starting this, Chazal tell us, Ezra HaSofer saved Klal Yisrael because we stopped having to do these sacrifices that were luckily no good. He understood the power of a shul, the power of a community. This was Ezra HaSofer. So not only that, when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we lost one thing. When we lost Ezra HaSofer, a certain element of uplifting Klal Yisrael through a sense of community left, because Ezra HaSofer figured that out. And he did that for us. And we, till today, on the day that he passed away, we lament and we cry. Why? Because his glamorous input into Klal Yisrael went away. He is considered the savior of Klal Yisrael. You have to read the psukim, fascinating psukim, how Klal Yisrael was at the brinks. They were marrying non-Jewish women. Ezra HaSofer got involved and inspired them. Incredible human being. It's unbelievable if we go through history to understand what Ezra HaSofer did for us. But I want to explain to you what this means. What Ezra HaSofer did to us was, he taught us, you cannot serve Hashem alone. Not that he came up with it, he realized that the Yidden were gravitating to the Beis HaMikdash, but when they couldn't go more often, this was here for the future. Ezra HaSofer was planting the seed for the day that the Beis HaMikdash goes down. Klal Yisrael is going to have their shuls, and they're going to have their communities. For those that think you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an individual, you hear about a shir for men, for women, for children. Let me do it on my own. I have my computer. I can listen. You're missing that basic yesod of Yahadus. Ezra has Sefer taught us that before he enacted the sense of community, Jews had to get together and do things even wrong because they wanted to connect as a group. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. And Ezra has Sefer taught us that. And now that the base of Mikdash is not around, what do we have to lament when there's a lack of community? When the base of Mikdash went down, and Ezra HaSefer goes down in history for that. And there's much more to expound on Ezra's amazing life if you go through it. But Tyrion, our point today is to be inspired for tomorrow. And many of you might remember the same Chassam Sefer that I'm quoting now, who teaches us that this is what Ezra HaSefer teaches us, adds a tremendous chiddush. We mentioned that if Asarah B'Tavis came out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. And the Chassam Sefer is very troubled. We don't find ever such a concept. How come only Yom Kippur and Asarah B'Tavis? And I want you to listen to the words of the Chassam Sefer that I've said before. He says the rule of thumb is you only allow to fast on Shabbos for a fast for the future. If it's a fast about the past, you don't fast on Shabbos. Tisha B'Av, Tainus Esther, you don't fast. Any fast that's relevant to the future, like Yom Kippur, it's for your atonement, you could fast. A Tainus Chalayim, if someone has a bad dream, is a special halacha, he's allowed to fast. Says the Chassam Sefer, so why in Asar B'Tavis, if it falls out on Shabbos, would you fast? And I'm asking you to please listen to this. Says the Holy Chassam Sefer. Each and every year, he says, Agal Lechem, I will spill the beans, what happens in Shemayim on Asar B'Tavis. He says, every single year on Asar B'Tavis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls together the Malachim and Shemayim. And he makes a decision, will the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt this year or not? He says that decision is made on Asar B'Tavis. He says, you know why you allowed to fast on Asar B'Tavis on Shabbos, if it were to fall out on Shabbos? Because it's relevant to the future. How we feel tomorrow, says the Chassam Sefer, and how bad we feel tomorrow about the lack of the Beis HaMikdash is the deciding factor if it's going to be rebuilt. So tomorrow, take a moment. And when you lament the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, which is hard, perhaps you can take it to test, Davis. Perhaps you can take a moment to lament our lack of community, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu woke us up a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, with the Haras in Eretz Yisrael to teach us. We need to become more communal. Ezra Sefer taught us, you can't serve Hashem by yourself. You need to make groups of people to get together and learn, to make groups of people to grow together. We need a chizuk in our sense of community. There needs to be much more growth together. People, we don't grow by ourselves. And when there's a lack of it, there's a lack of shalom, and there's a lack of achdus and growth together, if you lament it tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build the ultimate shul. He will build the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. So again, going into tomorrow, think about for a moment the Yud Tevis, what the Chassam Sefer teaches us, the secret the Chassam Sefer teaches us, that tomorrow, every year in Asar B'Tavis is a massive Din Torah in Shemayim. I think after the events of this year, I think we feel it a little more than a regular Asar B'Tavis. Every year, do you really want the Beis HaMikdash? Do you don't? I'm not convinced every year we want it. I feel this year, with what's going on in the world and the discomfort Jews feel in exile and Golos around the world, it's fair to say that tomorrow's Asar B'Tavis can really do it. I think there's enough pain in Klal Yisrael that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into our hearts on Asar B'Tavis and he sees us fasting, he's going to say, no, no, this year they really want it. This year they want it. So I plead with everybody to lament, to feel it tomorrow. And remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is passing to the point we'll have to fast on Shabbos because it's such an integral and important thing. The entire future of the Beis HaMikdash gets decided on that day. And perhaps you remember Ezra HaSefer, the loss of the sense of community. While you lament the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we also have to lament the loss of Kihila, of becoming one and growing together that could be strengthened. And I believe Be'emunah Shleimah, if we could have those thoughts tomorrow, think about what you could do for our community. What growth could you bring? What could you arrange? What could you bring together? Whether it's a group of women getting together to be mechazik in a specific set of halachas, or to be mechazik in their shalom bayis, to be mechazik in their chinuch, group of men. It doesn't make a difference what kind of group it is. It transforms a community when everyone's growing together. If you have an idea of an initiative or something, let's go. Feel free to call me, call your friends, make something happen. Remember Ezra Sofer saved Klal Yisrael. No other Melech Yisrael, including the Kedoshim, even the Tzaddikim, Leisaru, Rakabamas, we the Psukim, Rakabamas, Leisaru, they could not get rid. The only one who helped us was Ezra. By enacting the concept of a shul, of a base Knesset, of a chabura, of a group of Klal Yisrael. Let's lament those things that are lacking today. And without a doubt, we will be zeicha this year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Sarah Batavis, Topshin Pei Dalet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a psak that the Beis HaMikdash is finally being rebuilt and will bring us chizik. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a very meaningful Tainus.